I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of struggles with runners in scoring position, which is real and has been all season long. Turning up Tuesday, some Audio Slave, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, and Steve Molesky joining us in studio, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. First of all, Steve, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bobster.
And last time I saw you was Friday at Brandon Heights' last press conference, pregame.
I know. I think I asked the very last question he ever answered.
And he was, you know, he was forthright, best he could be given the circumstances. And then,
and let me tell people the question I asked and why I asked it. Because for me, being around the guy the last few years, first of all, I have the highest respect for Brandon Hyde. I like him a lot. I like him as a man. I like him as a manager. I like him as a baseball guy. I like him as a human being. When I lost my gig this winter, he was one of the first people to call me. Beautiful call. And I'll never forget it. And so I feel for someone I like. And if having feelings covering someone is bad, then I'm bad in this case, I guess.
Sure.
But I like the guy. And so he had a tough go this year, as he wasn't the only one, obviously. So I asked him, you know, you essentially, I said, you speak for this team twice a day, and when it's going so badly, you're at front and center. You know, who are you relying on? You must need to talk this out sometimes. And he, you know, he said he's got a good support system. But I could see Bob, and I think other reporters I asked around the team could see it wearing on him. How could it not, right? Because you give a damn. And so he does, and he did, and probably still does. So I'm sorry he's gone. For me, it falls under the do something category. I don't know if it's going to fix a single thing. Maybe it will. Maybe you just needed to, you know, you did need, probably need to do something. So they did something.
Yeah. And look, you followed sports, not just baseball, for many years. That never is the end all be all. It happens at times. Look at the Phillies a couple of years ago, got rid of Girardi and then Thompson. They went to the World Series and they've been contenders
right
ever since. But you know, getting rid of Brandon Hyde mid May, we all saw the warts on this team. I mean, there were warts coming out of Sarasota. It got even worse. The compound W couldn't help because you lost. Well, Grayson Rodriguez hasn't pitched for the Orioles since, what, July of last year? Then Eflin comes out pitching well. Then he gets hurt. Morton's been an unmitigated disaster. Mm-hmm. They brought in Kyle Gibson. He's been DFA'd after four starts. Povich had a slow start. Kramer. I mean, even at full optimum health, Steve, we talked about the fact that their rotation might be the worst in the division. And it got even worse before they even got out of Florida.
Right. I mean, they were hoping 60 starts combined, Grayson and Eflin, and you could hold your own with some teams. Well, they're not going to get anywhere close to that. And we found out that when the order was shuffled and guys had to move to the front, it was a house of cards that just collapsed. And so, you know, now there are two guys taking all the heat, Bob. Now there's one. And so it's all falling on Mike Elias right now, and he's getting a raft of criticism, obviously, and some of it, I'm sure even he would say, deservedly so. I mean, every move he made, almost every move, is not working out. And, you know, the trade of Rodgers looks awful right now because, I mean, Stowers is thriving. And so that's one of the toughest things any organization can do is really know which of their young players is going to hit and which aren't. And so you miss on some of those, and I don't know if there's going to be a miss on this guy because we're only in mid-May. But I thought all along he was the replacement for Santander. I thought that 2 years ago.
And now Tater's, of course, up in Toronto, and one of the bad moves, I mean, we can call it like it is, Tyler O'Neill comes in, and, you know, he rakes on opening day, historically. So does Rutschman. It's the other 161 games where right. Looks like, well, he gets hurt. He's, what, 16 trips now on the IL? And, look, you've been around the team. Anthony Santander's off to a slow start in Toronto. But he was beloved in that clubhouse, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that has meaning too. And I mean, the concern for me right now, the long-term concern, is you have a good coaching staff, but they're so MLB inexperienced. You know, they moved on from Freddy Gonzalez. They moved on from Hernandez. So all of a sudden, it's a bunch of young, talented guys in there, but they haven't been in the big leagues a lot. In the clubhouse, it's a bunch of young, talented guys in there, but they haven't been in the big leagues a lot. So these two factions now somehow have to group together to pull this ship to the shore before it gets into more deep waters. How many other cliches can I use, by the way?
Use as many as you want. We got another hour and 50 minutes here. Right. But Tony Manziolino, getting back to that cut, Steve, talking about the bad luck that they're hitting into with the hard contact. I mean, we see the offensive numbers. They don't walk a lot. They strike out a ton. The power numbers are way down from where they were in 2024 when they were, you know, at this time last year, they may have been the most explosive offense, certainly in the American League, if not all of baseball. They are far from that right now. And we almost joke about it. You know, you and I are about the same age. Expected numbers, whatever. Baseball card says 275, 18 doubles, 23. I not expected to hit 40 doubles, and it's what you right. do. And do you buy the Orioles are hitting into a lot of bad luck? Or is it just it's a flawed approach oftentimes because runners in scoring position, lack of success, goes back to the second half. This is a large sample size of not being good in that area.
Right. So I do believe in expected stats, but I also say this. We talked for 2 years about Ryan Mountcastle's expected slugging, and eventually it'll come for him. Well, it hasn't. You know, 2 years later, we're still saying Ryan doesn't hit enough home runs. So it didn't work out in that case. Earlier this year it was, yeah, but look at Rutschman's expected stats. He's doing a lot right. Things are going to start working out for him. When is that going to happen? So I think that's what the fans are saying. Don't give me expected stats. I would like some real stats that lead to real wins.
So explain with the expect, because with the exit velo being high, yeah. that sooner or later those hard hit balls are going to start finding homes, but they're not, and it seems to be a team-wide sort of problemo here.
Well, expected stats look at the quality of your contact. They take a lot in consideration. Your exit velocities, your launch angles, your swing and miss rate, and they look at all these data points, and they say what a hitter hitting like this should have these statistics. But then you look at their actual statistics, you say, okay, he should be slugging 480, he's slugging 380. So that's a problem. And then the question becomes, well, it's going to normalize, right? It's going to regress to the mean or improve to the mean or whatever you want to say. And so in a lot of these cases, Bob, it isn't. And so Gunnar, for me, when he was hitting the ball so hard and they were catching a lot of them, I said, these are going to start falling for this kid. And they have started to fall for him. He went on a little streak there. So I think Gunnar will be okay over the long haul. Jackson's hitting. They just need more. I mean, Adley, if it's my lineup, Adley's not batting second, third, or fourth for a while.
And Brandon Hyde addressed that on a Friday as well and basically saying, well, don't really have a lot of options right now with the injuries and some other players underperforming.
I know, but I think it's time to send some messages, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
And one message is, if you're hitting 208, you're not going to bat third here. And so, again, you're right. And then what are you going to bat third? The guy who's hitting 218 then, right. You know.
Hey, Cedric Mullins felt that heat when he was scuffling. He was batting eighth, ninth on a regular basis there until he got yeah. hot again.
And Bob, I think behind the scenes, these messages are happening. So fans talk to me, they're coddling them, they're doing this, they're doing that. None of us really know the answer because we're in there for media availability. And we talk to guys and we get some input in certain things. And so I do think behind the scenes, Brandon Hyde was delivering some messages and trying to be fiery and do things that would help. And none of it worked. So maybe a new message will work over time. I don't know. We all the three words we keep saying with the Orioles, Bob, this year is I don't know. You know, hey, how the lineup going? I don't know. How are they going to do with the rotation? I don't know. So I think there's a lot of that. And you know, I just didn't see 16 games undercoming. I just did not.
Yeah, now the question is, when are they going to win another game? I don't know. Bob Haney, Steve Molesky, Orioles in Milwaukee. We'll have that breakdown for you coming up as the show progresses. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. You want it loud, send your song request. Plaza Port text line later on in the hour. We'll count some dough, buy or sell. But people want to vent about the birds, and rightfully so. And we're doing it here.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan, and Milwaukee beat the Birds last night 5-4, but in totality, been kind of a disappointing year for the old Brujas. And, you know, they've had some attrition roster-wise, injuries to their rotation. But, you know, the Orioles are the slump buster, I guess, for a lot of teams. And Milwaukee might be next in line for that. Let's get out to the phones. People want to vent. Let's go to Columbia. It is Scott. Scott, thanks for holding. What's happening? Your old Bob Haney, Steve Molesky, and Nolan McGraw.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Steve. How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Steve, I miss your shows after the games. Really enjoyed those segments, called quite a bit.
Oh, thank you for that.
The question I have is, and this isn't second-guessing, I said this all off-season, with the exception of Elias might have been waiting to hear from Corbin Burns, and they might have thought they had a good chance to sign him, and that's maybe why they didn't go after a Crochet or something. I just think the off-season moves were horrible. I mean, Gary Sanchez for $8.5 million. The guy's a horrible defensive catcher and barely hits. I think someone like, you know, losing Santander in the clubhouse, McCann and Columbine has had a big effect on what's going on. I mean, the guys they replaced him with are not doing anything. You know, O'Neill's injured. You know, injured players are going to get injured. That's what I know one of the famous players used to say. It might have been about football, but, you know, he's always injured. And it just seems like they haven't done anything to make the roster better than it was last year. And going forward, their payroll next year, other than all the guys that get renewed in arbitration, they have one guy signed to a deal next year, and that's O'Neill for $16.5 million. And he can opt out of that, which he probably won't because he's injured. But they have no future payroll spent. I think they need some veterans to help these young guys, and it seems like everybody, which may be the exception of Jackson Holiday, is underperforming in the entire roster.
Well, you hit on all the problems, and that's it, man. That's it. The offseason has been a pretty big failure to this point. It doesn't mean things can't change. Liriano went from looking like a bust to all of a sudden batting fourth, so things can get better. They need to get better. And having not many obligations on the payroll is a good thing, because that just means there's some room to grow that thing, and the Orioles need to do it, Bob. There's a day coming, whether it's a trade deadline this year or next winter, when they have to win a battle for a pitcher. And that's where maybe the ownership group has to get with Elias and say, you may not be comfortable with $325 million. We need to win this one. And so we need to do what it takes. Now, what we'll never know, Bob, is what was involved in Gary. No doubt the Orioles had talks about Gary Crochet. What was being asked for? Because if we knew that, you and I could say, oh, geez, glad they didn't make that deal.
Right.
Or we could say, whoa, they should have pulled that trigger. And we don't know yet if Gary Crochet is going to be healthy 3 months from now. Right now, he looks great, right? And Max Fried looks great. And those are two pitchers the Orioles had to be involved with but never got.
To your point about spending dough, and I've been talking about it on the show, because expiring contracts just say we're going to have to replenish maybe half the roster. I think a lot of fans, we'll get back to the call center second, are worried, Steve, that even if David Rubenstein says, hey, let's go, I'm in. I'm Peter Angelos 1994. Let's do this. Is Elias the right man to spend that money wisely?
Well, I guess we're going to find out if he's given that chance. And so, but a lot of times it is the owner that makes these deals. Ownership's always involved with these mega deals. In Houston, when they got Verlander, I think it was the owner there who pushed that, made that happen. You know, he might have, but he was the one who really got the deal done as much as the GM. So sometimes that's where you have to be. And, I mean, the Orioles, I mean, look, Bob, Jordan Lyles and then Kyle Gibson and Corbin Burns and Zach Eflin, they just keep turning over pitchers. At some point, you need, if you don't have your own farm system giving you three of those starters for the next 5 years, you need to sign one for the next 4 or 5 years. And I get it. The Orioles, it's a risky thing, man, because the Orioles couldn't do two of those, right? So whoever you pick, man, that guy better work out, or else it's going to hurt you for years. But at some point, they're going to have to pull that trigger.
And the Tigers drafted Mize and Jobe and Scooble. Was he later round pick, if I'm not mistaken, where Mike Elias is drafted well positionally. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But pitching-wise, has he drafted a dude that has pitched at the major league level? Starting pitcher,
well,
anyway.
Well, certainly not many. You need an asterisk there because he acquired Bradish. You know, he acquired McDermott, who we're going to see later tonight. He acquired Povich, who's in the rotation now. So many times, Bob, you look at – I do this every October. Where did that playoff rotation come from? And a lot of times I'll look down, I'll go, not one of these guys was drafted by this organization. So in the end, it does. Who cares? Chris Tillman headed a really good Oriole team, and they didn't draft him.
No doubt.
So, you know, you can acquire pitching. But at some point, I think the Orioles, and this may be the point this year, they have to pull the trigger a high drafted pitcher. The highest they've ever drafted is 63rd in all these years under Elias. They've never taken a pitcher higher. They've taken three in the top 100. So this year they have picks 19, 30, and 31. Again, if Steve's the guy calling the draft, I'm taking the best college pitcher I can get in one of those three. Okay, 19, 30, or 31, maybe two of them, and hoping that a year from now that guy's knocking on the door.
You don't want another left-handed hitting outfielder?
Well, I mean, you can take him too. You got three high picks. Take one of each.
Let's get out to the phones. Go to Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, thanks for holding. What's happening? Bob Eddie, Steve Molesky, Nolan McGraw with you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Mike.
I wanted to say first that I don't say how y'all doing and everything, because everybody does that, and all they do is take up somebody else's time who's waiting behind on the phone and everything. So we know that y'all doing well because y'all got really nice jobs that everybody else would like to do. But anyway, I think that right now with the so-called quote-unquote talent that the Orioles have on their team, I think what they're missing is people who can teach them how to get to another level. I still think that I'd rather have Mark Belanger or Mateo at shortstop than Gunnar Henderson. That ball the relief pitcher that he threw yesterday, and the ball was hit past Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson was playing too close to Urias. And not close enough to second base. I don't think that a lot. If Gunnar Henderson didn't play shortstop, where else? Whatever position could he play?
Well, he's the shortstop. They're not moving him off short, and he's playing where he's told to play. The players don't arbitrarily decide I'm going to shift two steps to the left or right. They play where they're designed to play, and they look at the charts where the guy hits the ball. So that's how that happens. It's not any leadership or anything there. But I think Gunner's the shortstop. I mean, where else is he going to play? He's going to play shortstop.
And then I think that it's time to realize that Mountcastle is not a home run hitter. Mountcastle, one thing I do respect about him is that when he hit a ground ball, he runs hard to first base. And they do the same thing with Mountcastle all the time. They throw pitches on the outside low to him the first couple of pitches, and he swings at him, and a lot of times he's 0-2 in the count. Also, they need to have somebody to teach guys how to steal bases. Jackson Holliday, and maybe Mateo or Mullins need to do the class. But they need to steal bases more often. They need to do little things to win games right now, because waiting on a 3-run home run is not getting it right now. It's just not getting it. And to me, I think that they sacrifice defense for offense. And And it's just not happening right now.
All right, Mike, I can feel your frustrations there, yes. Mike and Cherry Hill. And it, the thing is, he talks about the infield defense. That was supposed to be a strength of the team for them defensively in the infield. But Westberg hasn't played in forever.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about that.
And he said, right, Ryan Mountcastle isn't a home run hitter. Well, he has been.
Not this year.
He's a 30-homer guy.
Yeah.
But he's that therein lies one of the issues. So I think the combination of moving the wall, I mean, you know, again, Bob, looking back now, the wall's moved back, it's moved in. It's like, come on, guys, what are we doing here? It just seems like heart's in the right place, desire to win. Elias and his staff in rapid time took 115 losses to the number one farm system to 101 wins. So we can't forget what was done. But it's like a football team that gets to the 20-yard line and red zone is big trouble.
Or penalties in the red zone, which the Orioles could possibly do. You mentioned that wall. No, it's like playing Papa Shot when you got half a buzz on with the moving backboard. You're like, oh, my God, am I a jump shooter or am I slam dunking here? But Mounty, what, two homers on the year?
It's frustrating. And he's starting to swing it now. He's batting second because the guy's got a hitting streak and he's hit some balls hard. And he always seems to hit balls hard. But the getting them to get over the wall has been a real challenge for Ryan, and it's been rough.
We'll come back, take more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. We'll count some dough, hopefully, a little buy or sell. Later in the hour, Bob Hattie, Steve Molesky, Nolan McGraw. Orioles are in Milwaukee tonight, taking on the Brewers game two of that series. Keegan Aiken is going to open, who was a starter by trade, winning the Jim Palmer Minor League Pitcher of the Year way back when, but Dylan McDermott will take over for him. The Orioles looking to get a win. They've lost seven in a row. BBT coming up tonight at 6, brought to you by Jerry's.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Home services. Is there hope for maybe a turnaround here? Can they even get to 500, much less the playoffs? Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Steve.
Hey,
how y'all
Rashawn.
Doing today?
Good.
Hey, I'm all right. Hey, man, before I get to the, you know, what we do with these players and everything, I still feel high. It should have been given more time to get this right. You know, like, I mean, look, he maybe took us to the playoffs three seasons in a row. I mean, we had early exits and everything, but I feel he had more equity built up, you know, just to be, you know, for it to be let go like that, you know. So he should have just let him ride the season out or at least give him another season where everybody's, you know, back and not injured. But other than that, as far as the players and everything, who should we keep give away? I'm not sold on Gunnar Henderson and giving him a five, maybe $600-700 contract. I know people might disagree with this, but I think we should probably trade him while he's hot and get a, you know, a boatload for him, man. If we can get like two decent pitchers for Gunnar Henderson, you know, I'm with that we have control of. We have to pay a ton for. And only people that I'm keeping them building around is Kowser, Jackson Holliday, Westberg, and this is somebody else. And Kerstad. And I include the guys in the minors too, like Mayo and Basalio, whatever his name, how you pronounce his name.
Basalio. Hey, thanks for showing. I'm building around Gunnar Henderson first.
I know.
Personally. And then you let the chips fall where they may there.
Because, I mean, Bob, you spend all year in amateur scouting and international trying to attain and produce the next Gunnar Henderson. So when you get one, you know, that's another thing about the Orioles. They have not ponied up yet for any of the young talent. And fans have been clamoring for that, too. It's back burner now because, you know, there's a lot of other problems to talk about. But eventually, they're going to have to do that. And they trade Gunnar, or maybe if you get to the last year or two and you know you can't retain him, then maybe you got to think about that.
Yeah, a little Manny action going back to 2018. Hell, you watching MLB Network this morning with the sound down. They're talking about whether or not the Pirates should get rid of Paul Skeens.
Oh, no.
He hadn't even on the team for a year yet. All right, let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, what's happening?
What's good, Bob and Steve? How y'all doing?
Hey, Kevin.
I know it's exciting, buddy. I'm a little different. I'm a little indifferent than Rashawn. I would more go after trading Colton Cowser, Adley Rutschman, and maybe a few other guys. And the reason why I say that is when we took on Tyler O'Neill, let Tony go, people made arguments for a few different points, like in batting averages stuff, and it wasn't an upgrade. You know what I mean? Like, there was no upgrade, with that. And this team's in trouble. And how do you feel, Steve? I mean, when you've seen this over your career covering baseball, I mean, is it likely that a team like us is going to actually, like, regroup from this quickly? Or do you feel like this is something that's going to draw out and just be painful?
Well, what you're saying there points to an excellent point. And I've had this debate with some people in the last few days. Is the Orioles' window long-term closing because their window this year may be closing or closed almost? And I say, Bob, the answer to that is no. The long-term window is not closing because all this young talent that we were so high on 2 months ago is still here. Kyle Bradish could return. Tyler Wells could return. Grayson Rodriguez could return. Again, it's possible that none of the three return to the way we want, or only two or something. But I just think the collection of talent, what they've worked on, is still here. So that could mean maybe you do make a trade at the deadline to get a double-A pitcher who could be ready a year or two from now, right, and help that window. Because I don't think this means now the Orioles are a losing team for the next 3 or 4 years. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic in that statement, but I think Jackson Holliday is getting better, and he's going to be here next year. Gunnar Henderson is an 800 OPS guy, maybe 900 when he's really cooking, and he's going to be here next year. Colton Cowser and Jordan Westberg are hopefully going to be here next year and healthy. So to me, the window, the long-term window, is still there.
Well, I'm with you 100% on that. Before we go to a break, I'm flushing this season. This one's kind of a Mr. Tidy.
Well, it's daunting when you could win 12 in a row and you're still looking up at 500.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What, you're 5.5 behind Tampa right now for fourth in the division. But the Adley thing, talk about, I wouldn't sign Gunnar Henderson. Rashawn's ready to trade him off. Adley's the one, like, all of a sudden, I mean, we really want to give this guy a 5-year deal? How's he 27? We'll get into that and more when we come back. Forget about their money. We're going to count ours. Buy or sell. We'll get back to your phone calls. Got the American League East report. And then we're going out to Milwaukee. Todd Rosiak? I got that right? Yeah. I couldn't have pronounced that dude that pitched for the Brewers last night, his name, but I got Todd's right, and he'll be joining us. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Oh, Joey Ortiz hit a cool 170. He did pinch run last night, and so there you go.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale. Get 60% off and a free entry door with a house of windows. Plus, pay nothing till 2027. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, we're counting Adley's money. We're counting Gunner's money. How about we count some of ours and talk about the many sports subjects of this Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Steve Molesky, and, of course, Nolan McGraw. It's called Buy or Sell. So let's count the dough first, Nolan. Hopefully we got some.
Well, I see a lot of red here, which is never a good sign. S&P 500 down about 1687. The NASDAQ down about 4076. Dow Jones also down over 125. DraftKings down $1.08. But we got to end on a high note, right? Under Armour. It's up only 12 cents, though.
Well,
that's still up.
I did hear from Jimmy Patsos, and ironically enough, and I'll take a picture to prove it, I'm wearing some Under Armour shoes that Coach Patsos gave me. It's been a few years because they're the UCLA. I think UCLA and Under Armour had a split years back. So, yes, there's some Under Armour love there. It's Steve Molesky. I believe first time we're doing a fire sale together. Everything Nolan just said, we don't understand any of it. I thought Dal Jones was a left tackle for the Patriots back in 73.
Well, next. We do know sports. We'll at least try there. Yeah. Start in the NBA here, Bob. Trending closer and closer to a potential Timberwolves and Knicks rematch, or excuse me, a matchup in the finals. But would have a lot of heat behind it, considering all the storylines, mainly the preseason trade swapping Carl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle, the two big men traded sides there. Well, there were many reasons for that trade, at least for Minnesota's perspective. It wasn't just on the court. There was the financial side of things that came into play. But no doubt about it, both players thriving now with a change of scenery have been huge parts of each team making it this far. Buy or sell, Bob, regardless of playoff outcomes from here, the trade should be considered a rare example of a win-win.
Oh, I'm buying that 100%. And with Towns at Minnesota, like he and the Stifle Tower couldn't coexist, Rudy Gobert. Because, I mean, you got two big guys, even though, you know, Cat can take his game on the perimeter. It's allowed Naz Reid to flourish this year. Julius Randle now healthy. He's been a stud. And Karl Anthony Towns has had the best season of his career out there with the Knicks. So, yes, that is a win-win trade. I mean, both teams in the conference finals. I mean, what more do you want? Well, I guess winning the title, I think, probably.
Go over to baseball here, where Juan Soto, well, he's under the microscope right now. You look at his numbers on the season, it's not a complete disaster, even if some Mets fans may disagree with that. They spent a lot of money on him, so expectations were certainly high. But the stats, they're okay. However, a recent lack of hustle is what has been driving the heat from the fan base. He was slow out of the box on a grounder in the Yankees series over the weekend. Then, a couple days later, taking on the Red Sox at Fenway, rocketed a ball off the Green Monster, but had to settle for a single because he thought it was already gone, so he wasn't running to second. When asked about the lack of hustle post-game, he says, "I think I've been hustling pretty hard. If you see it today, you could tell." Steve, buy or sell, Soto is right. The criticism of his hustling is overblown.
No, we could see it, and he wasn't hustling. So he took a bad situation and made it worse by not owning up to it and saying, "I need to be better than that," or something that would have shown leadership. And so the Mets are doing okay, and I guess he's doing okay, but that is that's no bueno. When you turn a double into a single, just say it. You know, he stood at home plate and he watched that ball too long, and so that was the opposite of hustle.
We'll go back to the NBA here. The Nuggets took the top-seeded Thunder to a Game 7, but couldn't finish the job. Not a bad run, though, considering they did make that somewhat surprising decision at the end of the regular season, firing head coach Michael Malone and going with interim man David Adelman. He's already received a vote of confidence from some of his players, mainly Aaron Gordon, who says he wishes Adelman would get the full-time gig and get a chance to implement his system with a full offseason. Nikola Jokic added even more praise, saying that the interim coach woke them up, gave them more energy entering the crucial part of the season. Buy or sell, Bob, Adelman showed enough in this run to earn himself the full-time job.
I'll buy that, but I'll sell that he'll get the full-time job, that's a foregone conclusion. Look, Jokic is the best player in the NBA. If he's not, he's in the top two or three. Who's his sidekick? Jamal Murray plays like that guy. Gordon had a great playoff run. Michael Porter, he had a sketchy go of it. He needs another dude to go along with him. And I don't care if Doug Moe comes out of retirement. There's an old reference. It's not going to be enough talent-wise to get over the hump. And by the way, Adelman, Steve, his dad was Rick Adelman. He used to be the coach of the old Portland Trailblazers there in the,
yikes,
the late 80s, early 90s. There you go. You learn something new every day here on the show.
Go back to baseball. The Phillies bullpen, boy, that took a hit earlier this week. It was announced that Jose Alvarado going to be suspended 80 games for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug rules. Now, the earliest that he could return here, pretty late on in the regular season, talking late August, but as we know with the MLB rules on PED suspensions, he can come back and play in the regular season, but if and when the Phillies make the postseason, he will not be eligible at all. Now, Philly, they were probably already looking to buy some bullpen help, but this move makes it absolutely a necessity. How about a reunion with Sir Anthony Dominguez? Remember, they traded him here for Austin Hayes. The O's are pretty much destined to be sellers at this point. And Dominguez, even though he flamed out in his end there in Philadelphia, his career 1.02 ERA in the playoffs, that's pretty attractive. Buy or sell, Steve, the Phillies we'll buy back Dominguez in July.
I'm selling that one. I don't think they're going back for a reunion there with Fahey or Soto either. But maybe the Orioles have someone they want to talk about. Maybe Andrew Kittredge will come back, pitch well, and be a trade piece. We'll see. It, by the way, his return seems pretty imminent. We should see him this week, is my guess. But I don't think they're going for the Sir Anthony reunion.
All right, we'll close with this topic here in the NFL. A handful of things actually being voted on today at the owners' meetings, but one of them is pretty interesting. The idea of a new playoff format under the proposed rule. Winning your division guarantees you a spot in the playoffs, but does not guarantee you home field. Teams would be seeded based on win percentage. Now, this sounds pretty good on paper. Some even believe that it could enhance the end of the regular season, giving teams more incentive to play through Week 18 rather than resting players when they've already locked up everything they could possibly lock up. However, multiple reports indicate that this sounds like it could be a long shot to actually get passed, at least for 2025. Buy or sell, Bob? We'll see this rule change implemented within the next 3 years.
I'm selling it. Now, NBA, I believe, you're just based on record, right? You even your division champ, you're no longer a higher seed than a team with a better record than you. So I get it. But isn't it cyclical? Like an 8-9 team's not going to win the division all the time. It happens. And then sometimes these teams go on these magical runs through the postseason. The NFL needs to stop tweaking things. I mean, it's the most popular league, certainly in this country. I mean, I'm not a big kickball guy, but I understand that it's a big deal abroad. But just leave it alone, man. People watch preseason games more than they watch baseball playoff games, which is mind-boggling to me. But it is what it is. Leave Brittany alone. Leave the playoffs alone.
I think my only thing would be, if you change that, then why are you playing every team in your division twice? Because winning the division no longer matters, essentially.
Leave Brittany alone.
All right.
Just let it roll, because it's all cyclical. I mean, it's worked fine for 150 plus years now, with some tweaks here or there. I mean, those dopes are still trying to figure out the onside kick in the kickoff, which they wanted to abolish. Now you got flag football. By the way, I'm thumbs down on that.
Well, that sounds like it's a guarantee to get passed.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to the Olympics. And Jeffrey Jadia said, I mean, we could probably get 12 of the best high school players in the country, or whatever it's going to be. I don't know how many is going to be on a roster, but would house any country in the world in flag football. Am I wrong with that? Do you need Lamar Jackson and CeeDee Lamb to win the gold medal? That's the only thing you'd be chasing, is gold medal, I think.
Well, forever basketball, that was always the disparity. The United States would wreck everyone.
Well, the only reason they changed that, because the amateurs started losing to the European teams. So they're like, we can't have this. So now we got to get the pros. Because for many years, the best college players would go kick ass. Now college is just, I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent here. We'll come back and we'll go on tangents. We'll talk about the Orioles. About them, they've lost 7 in a row. They fired their manager. They're 16 games under 500. They're 12 games out of first. Everything's awesome. Got the American League East report coming up.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.